the October 30th edition of This Week in Virtualization, the weekly news podcast from SearchServerVirtualization.com. This Week in Virtualization, Citrix CTO Simon Crosby talks about making Xen Server open source, and Xen hypervisors develop a loyal user base. I'm site editor Colin Steele.
And I'm assistant editor Keith Kessinger.
Our guest today is Citrix CTO Simon Crosby. Thanks for joining us, Simon.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Simon, there's been a lot of talk over the past week and some confusion about Citrix making Xen Server open source. Can you explain exactly what parts of the code Citrix will and won't be releasing to the open source community?
Sure. Let me first describe what our goals are. Our goals are to make the core enhancements that Citrix has been building for years now in Xen Server available to the community to build the Xen Cloud platform. Of course, it's a starting point, and there are numerous contributors in the community. And so the statement that we've made is that we'll be making the code available as open source. But the key thing is that the Xen Cloud platform is a product of the community, and we're expecting very substantial contributions from other key community partners such as Oracle and Novell and VA Linux and Fujitsu and so on, who are working with us to define what that architecture will look like. So the key statement was that we're making the technology available, and not that the Xen Cloud platform will be an open source version of Xen Server. Now, what we'll be open sourcing and what we won't, basically the product, which is Xen Server, has several components. First of all, the Xen Center console is a .NET-based thin client GUI that will not be open source. There's no point in open sourcing it because it's not of value to the Xen Cloud platform. It's not intended for the cloud segment. It's an enterprise management console. But the product itself that runs on the server, so the thing that runs on every single server in the Xen Server context, all of the components there will be open sourced, bar one. And that is the specific limitation on our Windows drivers, which are freely redistributable, but are not open source because they've been developed using key Microsoft development tools, which prohibit the use of open source. And then there are other utilities that surround Xen Server that are free. For example, our Xen Convert P2V utility, which are part of Xen Server and not really of value in the cloud context, and that is not open source, but it's free already.
Citrix already gives away Xen Server for free. So how do you plan to make money in the market, and how would you respond to those who say that by making Xen Server free and now mostly open source, Citrix is basically conceding the server virtualization market to VMware and Microsoft?
Yeah, anything but giving it away. Look, Microsoft makes Hyper-V free, so the same question would apply to them. In the last quarter, we added north of 25,000 customers. Okay, the giving away of Xen Server free is a very specific strategic objective, which is designed to get around a problem that we face in the channel, namely that the channel, the reseller channel, which predominantly sells VMware today, is not going to spend much time selling a cheaper product, even though that product could be better or more suited to the customer's needs, given that they make more money out of the more expensive, higher volume product, which is VMware today. So our objective in making Xen Server free was to get right past that, to have an extremely compelling value proposition for every resource-challenged IT department, which is essentially that $4,000 or $5,000 worth of software is now free, and then to build a repeatable sales process which pulls additional value add through the channel in the more traditional process, and that is all of the automated management functions and self-service management functions that you need to build your private cloud. So Xen Server contains everything which is about resource pooling, so pools of servers and shared storage and virtualized networking, all of the management in any quantity that you like, absolutely free. But when it comes down to automated management of that, so automated dynamic resource allocation, VMware would call that DRS. We call it dynamic workload balancing, power management, dynamic VM provisioning, automated workflow, and automated HA. We sell a value-added SKU there called Citrix Essentials for Zen Server. And there's an Enterprise Edition, which contains the features that I've just mentioned, and then there's a Platinum Edition, which contains the additional layer, which is essentially what you need to turn IT into a self-service function that allows lines of business or product development groups to get self-service access to lights-out automated virtualized IT infrastructure. And that's the Platinum Edition. And so what we've seen as we've made Zen Server free has been an extremely high uptake in terms of downloads. We do about 10,000 downloads a week now. And of the downloaders, north of 50% activate a license immediately. And then we have a very predictable cycle whereby we see, you know, a couple of licenses go live. Then within a few weeks, we see 5 to 10 licenses. And then we have an opportunity for a very engaging conversation with our customer to upsell them on Essentials, and about 40% of those who are taking free Zen Server now are actively trialing the Essentials package. That just takes time. That's just about getting customers through the process of getting to know the product and then getting up on the Essentials stack. And our business has doubled since Q1.
Essentials can also manage Hyper-V. What kind of uptake are you seeing from those customers?
Really, I think that our Essentials business is for Hyper-V is going to take off now that Hyper-V R2 is here. Many of the features in Essentials are really around automation, and automation is heavily dependent on the availability of live relocation, and that is which first ships in Hyper-V with R2. So we're expecting that business to grow rapidly once Hyper-V R2 starts to get deeper into production.
On the other end of the spectrum, do you think that there will still be a market for other Zen hypervisors now that Zen Server is going open source?
We're working very actively with the community to ensure that there is a common base platform across all of the key vendors in the Zen world. So our objective is to ensure that the vendors in the Zen community all make money. It's a specific requirement of ours. Okay. So in general, our intention is to ensure that all of the Zen vendors collectively make a ton of money, because we need a vibrant Zen community around the hypervisor. This is not about Citrix winning in Zen. It's about the Zen vendors having a strong, common, compatible base that they can then individually upsell with their own value add, compatibility being a key requirement there, and also maximizing the core components in terms of shared infrastructure. It's also about making sure that every cloud that wants to deliver enterprise-class cloud services to its customers can do so by getting everything they need free and in open source, or alternatively purchasing a product from a vendor. But it's most important to understand that compatibility and uniformity across Hyper-V and all of the Zen implementations is very important, and also that we expect all of the Zen vendors to make money.
Finally, we had a question come in from one of our listeners. His name is Benedict Heaver, and he's in the UK, and he wants to know, when will Zen Server have APIs for third-party backup, antivirus, and other important features like the other major hypervisors do?
It already has backup APIs. That's all been in there for quite some time. You will see substantial additions in the context of disaster recovery and planning. That is all coming out from various vendors, as well as in our own storage link product, which is part of Essentials. But backup has been there for at least a year. In the area of security, this comes in our world in several stages. First of all, as we introduce the new virtual switch in Zen Server, which will be roughly in the timescale of our forthcoming release, Midnight Ride, which is early next year. What we've introduced there is the ability to have network-based security in the form of firewall policies and ACLs be attached to virtual interfaces and migrate with VMs around the infrastructure so that you can guarantee that you have consistent policy associated with a virtual interface no matter where the VM happens to be running. In terms of then plugging that into vendor-specific tools, we have a very active program underway at the moment working with the with ISVs to add value around the new interfaces that we create there to allow them to do deeper levels of inspection, find the bad guys, and so on. So we're expecting ISV products to be announced around that once we get that product to market.
Simon Crosby, Citrix CTO and ZenSource founder, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
We'll be right back.
Attention, IT managers. It doesn't matter if you're just getting into virtualization or if your entire business has been virtualized for years. CertServerVirtualization.com has all the resources you need to get the most out of this rapidly growing technology. Our tips come from some of the most respected experts in the field, and our experienced news staff and bloggers will keep you up to date on the latest developments in the market. Get all of this and more at CertServerVirtualization.com.
Welcome back. The conventional wisdom these days is that VMware and Microsoft have a chokehold on the virtualization market. However, there are some IT professionals that will staunchly defend commercial Zen-based virtualization products. Take, for instance, Michael Lawrence, a CTO for a city in Kansas. 3 years ago, Lawrence realized he would not be able to afford VMware even with a government discount. He said, "That would have eaten up my entire network budget in its entirety. We couldn't do it." The city decided upon 8 Zen Server Enterprise and 4 standard licenses, spending only $11,000. While Lawrence was willing to make the jump to open source virtualization, many first-time users sometimes shy away out of fear for vendor lock-in for a product that might not pan out. According to analyst Tony Iams from Ideas International, these concerns are baseless. Iams concedes that open source virtualization may not have all the bells and whistles, but it can perform all the day-to-day functions. Furthermore, the emergence of standards such as Open Virtualization Format make the risk of choosing the wrong hypervisor very low. IAM says, "If you make the wrong choice, you can always move off later on. For short-term issues of server consolidation, if the price is right, I haven't seen any hypervisor offerings that fall down." That's all the time we have for now. I'm Keith Kessinger.
And I'm Colin Steele. Thanks for listening to This Week in Virtualization.